Is there something that you say over and over and over again, and people tell you, you always say that? I mean, I sometimes have that horror where I hear somebody say, oh, Nick, you always say. And if it's something good, I think, oh, stole that from Joyce Meyer. And if it's something bad, I'm thinking, oh, dear, I wish I would stop saying stupid things when I'm in front of the church. Because it's Mother's Day, my mum's not here, but she does listen online. So, you know, hiya, Mum. And my mum says, well, I never. Well, I never, all the time. When the kids were little, they would go, ha! And then she'll go, blummineck. My friend Terry at school, he couldn't walk over one of those, you know, those kind of hydrant plates in the floor. He couldn't walk over them without doing that. He'd have to touch every side with every foot. Now, you know, we were 16. We didn't know about OCD then, but looking back, probably. I'm sure we've seen a psychiatrist since. I don't really know. But we have repetitive things, don't we, in our lives. There's things that we say and things that we do. If you think about what you're doing right now, the stuff that you do constantly, you're unaware of it. Your heart's beating. Your brain, at least most of you, your brain is functioning. Your liver right now is doing about 400 different things in your body. Isn't that amazing? Hey, you know, you can take an adult liver, you can cut it in half, and you can put both halves into different donors, and the liver will instantly react to the age of the recipient. Isn't that amazing? I mean, that is amazing. You can take a 51-year-old's liver. Don't do it this morning, I need it. It's Mother's Day, I'm going to have a glass of wine later, definitely need it. But put that into a six-year-old that acts like a six-year-old's liver. Amazing. Just random, right? Amazing. Why am I telling you that? Oh, yeah. Breathe. Breathe. One of the things we do without realizing it is breathe. And over again in Scripture, there are things that God reminds us of. There are things that he says, this is what you should do, like breathing. You should praise like breathing. You should fear not like breathing. You might have heard that there's a fear not for every day of the year that isn't. Somebody didn't count. I have counted. There's about 72. It's more than one a week. That's pretty good, isn't it? Fear not. And one of those things is pray. Pray. We are called to pray like breathing. Like it becomes something that we do. Like my mate Tezza, every time, wherever you are, walking, driving, waking up, going to sleep, prayer becomes something that you do, not because it is a chore, but because it is life. If breathing has become a chore, stop. But for most of us, actually all of us, 100%, breath is life. And through Scripture we're told that prayer, this relationship with Jesus, is life. One of my favourite passages over this Dirty Glory series, or one of my favourite books over the Dirty Glory series, has been 1 Thessalonians. It's so encouraging. It's a word to the church, and we've read this a few weeks ago, and we're going to read it again, because it talks about pray without ceasing. Now we ask you, brothers and sisters, to acknowledge those who work hard among you. I thought I'd put that bit in, you know, because it was Mother's Day, and it was the clocks changed, and me and Dave were here at our post 5 or something it felt like, anyway, with others. Sorry. Who not only do they work hard among you, who care for you in the Lord and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard, in love because of their work. Live in peace with each other. And we urge you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle and disruptive. Encourage the disheartened. Help the weak. Be patient with everyone. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always strive to do what is good for each other and for everyone else. Rejoice always, pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the Spirit, do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test them all. Hold on to what is good, reject every kind of evil. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. That's a good word, isn't it? He will do it.
We're called to pray continuously. And we're called actually to pray as a people, not as individuals. We've made Christianity a bit of an individual religion. But when these letters and gospels were written, they were written to you, as in plural, not you as in singular. Now you have to decide to follow Jesus as a person or not. That's up to you. That's something you have to decide. But actually, our job as a community is to give you that opportunity. And when you've made that decision, to walk with you, to stand with you, to help you. I don't know whether you saw either of these two shows recently. One of them is Harry's Heroes. And Harry Redknapp was getting some of my footballing heroes from the 90s, trying to get them back into shape and to play against Germany. Some of these guys were in their 50s, and they put a bit of weight on. I mean, can you believe it? A man in his 50s wearing black to look a bit thinner, you know, it just doesn't happen, does it? And at one point, Harry has these guys doing a bleep test. You know, you have to run from one point to another. And if you don't get there by the next bleep, it goes off. And within the first bleep, about five of the guys have gone, oh, forget it. But as it went on, two of the fellas just kept going and going. They got to about seven bleeps, which is pretty fit for 50-something-year-old men. But they were driving each other on. They weren't going to stop until the other one stopped. And actually, once one stopped, I think it was Ray Parler stops first, the other guy just gives in straight away. Because when you're together, you push each other on, don't you? I don't know whether you saw the two girls doing the dance. Oh, that was a dad dance, wasn't it? There, see that? I'm normally better than that, D, at me dancing. Anyway, don't judge me. Tess and Claudia, for Comic Relief, they did, I think it was more than 24 hours, wasn't it? But they were dancing and dancing and dancing. At one point, actually that point there, they were so in sync with each other. It's almost like they practiced the moves because they were so tired, they knew if one stopped, the other one would stop. There is this call in prayer to pray together, to be a continuous community. You know, we need to get our own rhythms of prayer. We need to find our own place as a Christian, as an individual. Dee said this morning, she saw that amazing spoken word from Eddie. And I just want to meditate on that, which was the point. There is a place for us to do that as individuals, but we're also called to do it together, to push each other on, to encourage each other, to keep praying. There is a call within our community to pray for each other. I don't know whether you've got WhatsApp on your phone. If your phone's powered by Steam, which it might be, I don't normally encourage people to buy expensive things, but you might need to upgrade your phone because the best prayer tool right now in the world is WhatsApp. I don't think that's why it was developed. I don't imagine that was the point of it, but it is this free messaging service. We can add lots of people onto it, and you can say, will you pray? Men of the lane, who's experienced that joy? Women, who's experienced that joy? Listen, it is fantastic. And I know for some of you, I don't quite understand introversion, but I believe it exists. And for some of you, you think, oh, I don't want to say anything because, you know, it's not all about me, and it's all about Jesus, and, you know, and you've been really spiritual and all the rest of it. But actually, sometimes when life is hard, you need people to pray. You need people to pray. And don't think, oh, I've used my allotment. I've done my bit. Elliot Brown, you know, he's had his 15 prayers this year. He's not here, so I can talk about him. You know, oh, I better not put anything else on. No, that's not how it works. I know if I put something on the men's WhatsApp, those men will pray straight away. Don't you want that in your life? Don't you want that? They're not all going to put little praying hands emojis and thumbs up and all the rest of it, but you know they're praying. If you've got a phone that can cope with it, speak to me or just text me later and I'll add you to the men's group. Text Ange, a number is in the bulletin this morning, I think, for the exam stuff. Text her. She will add you to the women's group. Let's get praying as a community. Let's pray together. Hang on, what's that word? Together. Continuous community. But there's also this idea in Scripture of continuous cover. And this has really got me excited this week. Just thinking, wow. Because when you walk into all sorts of situations, when life is challenging, you need a bit of cover. I love the 70s cop shows. I was going to put Telly Savalas up there, but I thought half the people won't know who he is. But you know that idea of cover me. cover me. You're running into a dangerous situation and you've got somebody else who's going to take the heat for you for a second, because it's not about you escaping, it's about you moving forward into difficult places. As we read through Scripture, there is very few prayers about escape. There is an awful lot of prayer about presence. Will you be with me, Lord, in the lion's den? Will you be with me, Lord, in the fiery furnace? Will you be with me, Lord, against the Romans? Will you be with me, Lord, in this place? We need cover, don't we? And there is this incredible scriptures, or a couple of incredible scriptures that I've really got hold of this week. Hebrews 7 and Romans 8 both say this. Therefore, he is able, that's Jesus. Therefore, Jesus is able to save completely those who come to God through him. Great. That's not news to most people here. Because he always lives to intercede for them. Oh, who's praying for you this morning? Jesus. Isn't that amazing? I mean, you know, there's people in this room, isn't there? You think, oh, if I get them praying for me, things are going to move. Do you know the people? I'm going to ask them. If they pray, that's going to be good. I've got Jesus praying for me. You've got Jesus praying for you. He lives. Is Jesus alive? I mean, if he's not alive, go home. Honestly, you're wasting your time and your money. But he's alive. And if he's alive, he lives to intercede for you. That is an incredible thing. It's an incredible thing. I mean, I just absolutely love it. There's a guy who's a kind of Victorian Scottish preacher, died very young but really influential, Robert Murray McShane, and he said, if I could hear Christ praying for me in the next room, I would not fear a million of enemies. Yet the distance makes no difference. He is praying for me. I remember when I first read that, I thought, what a lot of rubbish. Did you ever do that to sermons? Just shout that louder again, Rob. Never. I mean, we do, don't we? All of us are going, oh, what is he on about now? What's that about? I remember reading that thinking, what? Jesus praying for me? That's nonsense. All the way what Hebrews says. Look what Romans says. If I just grab hold of this, Jesus is praying for me. Amazing. Absolutely. What are you facing this week? Jesus is praying for you. What are you facing this week? What's going on in your life? Cancer. That's a little issue, isn't it? Jesus is praying for you. He's got this idea of continuous cover. In John 17, we get a little idea of what Jesus is praying. What is it that he's praying over you? And there's two particular things he says in John 17. He's praying protection. He says, Father, protect them, this little flock, these sheep of mine, in the middle of difficulty. He doesn't say lift them out of it. He says, protect them. This week, when you're facing challenges of many kinds, say, Lord, will you protect me? Jesus, will you pray protection over me? He's praying protection, and he's praying sanctification. It's a good religious word, isn't it? We've not done this yet this morning. Look at the person next to you and say, sanctification. The word is hagizo. It's a Greek word, and it means to be made holy. Not holy, 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 the Lord God Almighty, but set apart, different. Jesus is praying that you would be different. He's praying that you'd be one of his. He's praying that the word Christian would be positive. He's praying that his people would be holy people. That's an incredible thing, isn't it? And sometimes you struggle with holiness, don't you? Is it just me? Okay, let's make it more personal. Sometimes I struggle with holiness. I want to be a holy man, but sometimes I'm not. I need prayer. And here he is, Jesus, praying that I would be holy. Lord, will you help me? We need continuous cover. We can't talk this morning, though, on Mother's Day, unless we talk about continuous cover from the mother. I know you haven't all had amazing spiritual mums. But those of you who have, you know how powerful their prayers have been, don't you? I mean, amazing thing, amazing people. When I was a kid, my mum had this book by her bed called What Happens When Women Pray. And some of you might have read it. It was an awful book. Awful. You know, it was that, going through that debate about whether women can pray out loud in church. Because if they do, the roof will fall in or something. I don't know. I mean, horrible, actually. Especially when you open the scripture and read it. What happens when women pray? God listens. Who prays for me every day? I mean, I can guarantee you my mum does. Every day. My grandma died at 97. Every day she prayed for me. I keep telling them I am the favourite. The both of them say, no, you're not, but I'm the only Christian. So, you know, I get a special word. I know she's prayed for me this morning. She knows I'm preaching. She's praying for me. If you have had that woman or got that woman in your life, thank God for them. But you need to become that person today. You need to become that praying woman. You need to become that praying man. You need to step into the gap and give somebody some cover this morning. Because there are some of us in this room who are facing challenges that are massive. And how do we get through those things? How do we stand when everybody else is against us? How do we stand with integrity and holiness in an unintegral, unholy world? We need cover, don't we? Who's going to pray for you? We get to a point when the mothers have gone. And we suddenly realize we are the generation. We are the older generation. Some of you have reached that place a long time ago. And my generation are facing it now. We need to step up and step into the gap and start praying for people and telling them, I have got your back. I am covering you today because I know what you're facing. I know where you're going. And it's not just about the pastor and the people at the front. It is about the church being the church. Because we need cover, don't we? And Jesus is praying for you. Let's join him. What an amazing prayer meeting that is. Let's join him. We need continuous cover from the mother. Those of you who've come from a Catholic background, you might have, in your time, prayed to the mother. I spend quite a bit of time in the cemetery. You know that about me. I am weird. It's all right. And I spend some time there praying. And this little spot that I pray in is kind of a little Catholic neighbourhood. And a couple of the gravestones have got this pray for the soul of whatever the person's name is. Our Lady of Częstochowa. That's my best Polish. Częstochowa, that's the Lady of Częstochowa there. And within Catholicism, this thing has appeared that says, you know, don't pray to Jesus, he's busy. Pray to Mary. Now, you know, the Protestants have lost Mary. We've lost her. Jesus says, the scripture says, she is the most amazing person. She's the most amazing person. We've lost that. But the Catholics have gone the other way and started praying to her. You might as well pray to me. You might as well pray to me. Mary cannot answer your prayers. And this is why. There is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all people. That icon there is from the 1400s. It's in Poland. And actually, I'm going to try and skip back, see if it'll let me. What you notice is that she's pointing to Jesus. The church has done Mary a disservice. The Protestants have left her behind, and the Catholics have elevated her too high. And what she does is she points to Jesus. And I say that to us as mothers and as fathers, as men and women. We need to be pointing people to Jesus. We need to be praying for people, covering them in prayer, and pointing people in the right direction. It's no good speaking to the messenger. You need to speak to the mediator. And his name is Jesus. For there is one God. Continuous cover. And we're called to a place of continuous confession, to be those who rejoice always, 1 Thessalonians says. In 1 John it tells us to confess our sins because he is faithful and just and will forgive us of all unrighteousness. We start thinking about breathing, and I want to end thinking about breathing. Bill Bright, who started Campus Crusade, the mission organization in the States, he used to talk about keeping short accounts with God. And he would say it needs to be like spiritual breathing. You confess your sins. You say, Lord, I am sorry for that attitude, for that thing, for that place. I'm sorry for that. And you breathe in the Holy Spirit. You say, Lord, will you fill me today? Will you fill me with your Spirit so that I can live a holy life, so that I can be the person you want me to be? It is a continuous confession. Not just confessing your sins, but confession of who Jesus is. Confession of the life that you've got, rejoicing in God, saying, I'm not shaped by a diagnosis or by a time limit. It's God who's got me, and I'm in his hands. We need to confess the good stuff of God, the things that he has done for us. And it'll be those who are breathing in what he's got for us. Say, Lord, I want to be a holy one. And I know that you are praying for me this morning. What's God saying to you today? What's God been saying to you over these last weeks and months? What things have you picked up and ran with? And what things have you just kind of gone, oh, I'll get to that later. What is God saying to you this morning? And what are you going to do about it? If I had one hope for you this morning, it would be this, that you would recognize that Jesus is praying for you. That you would see that, you'd get hold of the magnitude of that, and you'd enter in to that incredible exchange and join in with it. That you'd join the community of prayer, that you become a praying mother, that you would pray for the saints because we need it. And that we would live a life of confession, of repentance. Jesus says, stop going your own way and go my way. He says, come to me, all you weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for your amazing word over us this morning, that you pray over us, that you speak over us. Lord, thank you that you are praying this morning, today, for us, that you are interceding for us. Lord, I pray we would hear that. And Lord, I pray we would be changed because of it. And Lord, I pray as you put people on our mind this week, that we wouldn't just think about them, but we'd pray for them. And that we would tell them that we're praying for them. Lord, I pray you would set us on a path of being an amazing praying army of men and women who see our nation changed. Go with us, Lord, I pray. In your mighty name, amen.